One commentary I read said something like, six times does the word love appear in that brief prayer, that if you want to know the secret, the key to being one and having unity and harmony in this world, there it is. It is love, which Paul says binds all things in perfect harmony. So in a divided world, perhaps increasingly so in this age of mass communications and social media, I found a hymn that opens with these words, in unity we're called to be diverse, though one in Christ. Divisiveness has no place here. We're called to transformed lives. Conflicts rage throughout the land, but we faint not, nor do we fear, because dividing walls have been brought down by Christ, who dwells here. Well, happy day of Ascension to you. It was actually Thursday, but we Presbyterians don't usually hold a separate worship service for the day of Ascension. I'd be up for it, but if you ever want to go to a Day of Ascension service, find a Catholic church or maybe an Episcopal church or an Orthodox church, and they will gather on the day to celebrate Christ ascending to heaven. Typically, what we do is, because it's always on a Thursday, we will find a nearby Sunday to honor Ascension. We look up and give thanks, not only for Christ coming down at Christmas, and Christ being lifted up on the cross and then raised from the dead, but then finally being reunited with the Heavenly Father. It is a bit of a family reunion, I noticed, that Ascension celebrates, the Son going to be with the Father in heaven. I came from you, praise the Son, and I'm returning to you. We are one, says the Son. You and me, I and you, we and them. This is his farewell prayer. He makes this final plea in the prayer. I pray that the church may be one, completely one, as we are one. Well, in the movie Aladdin, doesn't Aladdin grant three wishes? I didn't see it yet. Doesn't he grant three wishes? Come on, kids, help me out here. The genie grants three wishes to Aladdin. Well, no wonder you're confused. Maybe I need to see the movie. Right, the genie gives it to... See, I thought the genie was the Aladdin's name. Three wishes, that's the thing. Jesus has just one parting wish. That they may be completely one, that we may be completely one. So why are there so many church fights and why are there so many denominations? Well, because we have different histories and different contexts, because we have different personalities and preferences. We don't always reconcile differences well. Some churches have made decision that women will not be in ordained leadership. That's still the majority of churches in the world, the majority of Christians. We have discerned that women are called to all ministries of the church, including ordained leadership. Some congregations will not baptize infants. Others baptize infant or adult. Some do not have an open communion table that says all are welcome. Others do. Some churches are pro-life. Some churches are pro-choice. Some churches hold a diversity of views. The campus ministry I served in North Carolina was supported by four congregations. One of those congregations, and this was about 25 years ago, one of those congregations was openly affirming of gay and lesbian persons. One of the other churches in that partnership wore on their sleeve that they were not. One of the pastors in that diversity of churches said to me, well, the good things for the University of North Carolina students that we serve is that if one church doesn't offer their favorite flavor of ice cream, maybe another one does. One church was for the professors in prayer. It was the big steeple church that was very formal. The other one was a bunch of farmers that cooked hot dogs and had softball games. You get the idea. All that diversity was actually, in that case, a strength because they came together to share the gospel on the campus of the University of North Carolina. They found a common good a common purpose and decided they were stronger together than apart, they could further God's mission more with their diversity than if they had divorced from one another. When we find unity in Christ while disagreeing on issues, we're a bit like the keys on a piano or a guitar in tune or a rainbow. The difference is working together for a larger purpose and good. Sort of like the Wagner extended family at Thanksgiving, when we all gather together to give thanks because we've just canceled our votes out with one another the week before at Election Day. St. Augustine said, he wrote in the 4th century, so this is nothing new. It's been a long-time challenge for the church. He wrote in North Africa, "In non-essential matters, there should be diversity. In essential matters, there should be unity. But in all things, there must be charity," meaning love. If the church family, with all of its diversity, could demonstrate to the world that kind of peace and friendship and harmony, just imagine what the world might learn. The Apostle Paul, you know this, likened it to a human body. It says the ear and the nose and the eye and the foot and the hand, they all look different. They have different strengths and weaknesses and functions. But joined together, as we are joined together in Christ, all of those differences work for the strength of the body, even though I still dance like someone who has two left feet. Paul says the body is careful to protect and give special attention to the more modest parts, or the weaker parts, he calls them. Just as the church in the world is called to pay attention, especially to the sick, to the grieving, to the homeless, to the lonely, to those with special needs, and so forth. I think we are guilty of making a huge deal at Christmas, but I don't apologize. I love Christmas. We celebrate Christ coming to earth for our salvation. We celebrate in the Easter season the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and our forgiveness of sin. And we give thanks with beauty and flowers and music. We tend not to remember the day of ascension, when Jesus the Son is reunited with the Father in heaven. It's his voyage back home, as it were. The Apostles' Creed says he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty until he comes again one day to finish that work of salvation, to bring heaven to earth in that kingdom where there will be no more mass shootings and no more hate crimes or prejudice, no more injustice and unfairness, no more hungry children like the 1 in 6 that live in our country right now, no more swords. They will be built into plowshares in order to make food. Lion and lamb in this peaceable kingdom will lie down together. After Easter, 40 days, the sun is taken up to the heavens. We gaze heavenward today. One day when Heather and I were working with the youth in a church in Richmond, we had Youth Sunday and the youth led the service. And then we gazed heavenward. We all went out in the front steps of this church and we had the youth release balloons in all colors so that they could rise up to the heavens and remind us of Jesus' glorious ascension. And a great wind blew them into the pine tree. And there they stayed, stuck, some popping. And my Baptist professor friend who was there said, if this were a Baptist church, that wouldn't have happened. I can never remove that image from my mind on the day of ascension. So we will stay inside and simply think about gazing heavenward, where Christ is not only above all things, as Aaron read in that beautiful psalm, but fills all things, reconciles all things. I read ahead to the book of Revelation, and there's a beautiful picture of the kingdom gathered in glory in Revelation 7, and it's amazing who's there. So many people, such a multitude, you can't count them. And who are they? They are those who have survived the great affliction. They are those who come to heaven from every land and every nation and every people and every tribe Even the book of Revelation in the first century knew how diverse the church is in heaven and on earth. We bleed the same color. We share one planet. We laugh and we cry the same. Doesn't matter what language or what citizenship on earth. A Buddhist monk, Tom Cunningham, shared with me a quote. He said, "Ollie, maybe you can use this one day in a sermon." I said, "Tom, one day, I'm going to use it this Sunday." The monk said this, "Our enemy is not man. Our enemy is intolerance. Our enemy is fanaticism and dictatorship. Our enemy is hatred and greed and discrimination that all live within the human heart." You might know what happened after the Pittsburgh shooting, after that tragedy in the synagogue. The pastor of the AME Zion Church, which had also experienced similar gun violence, and his wife went up to Pittsburgh. So you have North and South, you have black and white, you have Christian and Jewish, but they found much more in common, with a common sorrow and a common hope, than what separated them. At this table, we give thanks that we are united, united back in time, as Christ shared that Passover festival, that Passover meal with his disciples. We're united with the church worldwide in heaven and on earth, and we're united in the future to that which is promised. So our youth and their leaders will soon be taking off. You see those nice-looking light blue T-shirts today. They'll be volunteering. They'll be in Charlotte. They'll be in Tampa. And I remind you that our group that was trying to go to Haiti this year because of the situation there of unrest had to delay that trip. So that trip will be rescheduled. But when we go to serve, we will not look down our noses at those poor and addicted and homeless persons, those elderly persons we serve. Instead, we will unite with them and say, "We are brothers and sisters together," and we will honor their dignity and show them respect. Our youth will dance with wheelchairs in Alzheimer's units. They will play volleyball with recovering drug addicts. They'll play board games and make chocolate chip cookies and serve lemonade to homeless men. They'll sweat and hammer and saw, and they'll work hard over dishwashers and cutting boards to feed. See, the key, I think, to living in Christ is not seeing them as them, but us as them. What separates you from that situation? One tragedy, one failure, one diagnosis, one bad decision. Pope Francis is in Romania now, if you're following that. He went to meet the patriarch of the Eastern Orthodox Church. His name is Daniel, Patriarch Daniel. If you don't know this, you probably don't. You're Western Protestants like me. The Catholics and the Orthodox had a bit of a schism in the year 1054. It's called the Great Schism. That separation was made worse through years of communism in Eastern Europe. And this is what the Pope said to a gathering of 80,000 mostly Orthodox Christians. "It is God's will that we not let ourselves be robbed of our fraternal love by voices that provoke division and fragmentation. Don't let our past hurts cause further division. The faith we share," said the Pope, "goes back to the apostles." And then he delivered a homily at a mass and said this: "The most important thing is not let your affiliation, your group, or your ethnicity define you. It is our shared humanity together, praising God, that defines us." Well, the hymn I opened with, I want to close with. These are the last two verses. "Take hands and hold fast, Christian friends, though we often disagree. To you in faith I belong, and you belong to me. One church, one family in the faith, whatever the stands we take. When we are one as Father and Son, it is the gospel that is proclaimed." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.